Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Rogate is Latin for ask or pray, coming from Jesus' words in today's gospel. And the next 3 days before ascension are called the Rogation Days, when it was once a tradition that farmers would bring their pastors out to their fields, and they would sing the litany together as everyone processed, and the pastors would bless the fields. And the children would go around and beat the bounds, as they call it. They would beat the bounds of the parish. They would smack the fence lines with sticks to drive away the devils. Spiritual crop insurance. And pure superstition. But how easily today prayer itself becomes superstition. And then how easily we toss it aside when it doesn't work for us. Small talk is always about the weather, but especially on the prairie and at this time of year. I never check my rain gauge, so I'm never prepared. But there's either too much or there's not enough. And the conversation always goes the same way. Well, you, Pastor, have an in with the big guy, right? The lake people and the gardeners pray against each other all summer long. And the pastor is caught in the middle as usual. Are we just joking? Or are we more superstitious than we think? Prayer this time of year, and really all the time, is serious business for the pastors and for the farmers. A pastor has a duty to pray for his flock. He oversees the royal priesthood's living sacrifices and prayers. He does it by proclaiming the word of faith that makes calling on the name of the Lord possible. That is a task that requires much prayer. But so is farming. Rain can make or break your crop. And even the most advanced planter has no button that controls the rain. Farmers are more aware than most of us that they, and all of us, live only by the mercy of God. They rightly pray because of it. But farmers at the same time live in our world of insurance. We might ask, is prayer just one more policy? It seems to me that other than pastors, farmers are the most faithless and the most faithful in their work and in their prayers. In all they do, they are dealing directly with the stuff of the Creed's first article, creation. They live by the promise that the Father who made everything will still take care of them. They are in the business of daily bread. But they struggle with the saying of Jesus, that their Father in heaven sends rain on the righteous and the wicked alike. Farmers are tempted to work and to pray as the world does, without faith, ordering their week by the crop rather than by God's word, fearing hail and drought, loving full bins, trusting in the market or the law of averages, being not just earthy, but worldly also. They might also at the same time hedge their bets now and again with this or that holy man, or with all of them. Farmers teeter on the edge of faith and unbelief. But don't get too smug, Christians, because they are just putting out in the open how it is with each of us privately. Students braving the halls at school. Citizens paying our bills from week to week. Mothers rearing their children. We believe and we pray and we work in faith on the basis of God's promises in Christ alone. And at the same time, we do not believe. We give up or we twist prayer. We labor as if truly it were to make our own living in this world. We believe and yet we pray, help my unbelief. We are faithless and faithful, weak. The farmer's anxiety is really no different than ours, except that maybe, like everything in farming, the rest of us have to multiply by 10 to understand it. Dear saints, look at the disciples in today's gospel. It's no different with them. They say, "Oh, now you are speaking plainly, Jesus. Now we believe." And Jesus says, "Oh, really? Do you now believe? For the hour was coming and had come when they would all be scattered, when the disciples would not even be able to stay awake and pray with Jesus 1 hour. Our worship and prayers falter also because our faith falters. We are easily scattered. We are weak. We do not ask as we should. Romans 8 even insists that we don't even know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with sighs that are too deep for words. He works faith, after all, in those who cannot, by their own reason or strength, believe. He is the comforter. He is the helper who even prays for us in our weaknesses. We are mixed up. We are at the same time faithless and faithful, sinner and saint. Our prayers reflect this. We pray faithfully when we commend ourselves to God's will and care as dear children to their dear Father, expecting and waiting eagerly to receive from Him. We pray faithlessly when we use prayer to garner God's favor or as an insurance policy, not knowing what to expect, unwilling to wait, out of desperation rather than out of hope in His Word. Prayer's proof is in the promise, not in the pudding. We pray not because it works, but we pray because God is listening in Jesus' name. We pray because Christ is so generous to us that by His blood, we are reconciled to God, and we have access to His throne of grace. All things are ours. We pray in Jesus' name that we might realize this and be kept in such confident faith. Otherwise, all of our prayers are not in spirit and in truth. They're not an asking that is in Jesus' name at all. Consider what happens to the Lord's Prayer when we pray it without faith. Our prayers of the fourth petition, daily bread, which includes everything that we need for the support and needs of this body and life, they just become hedged bets. Our prayers of the seventh petition, deliver us from evil, become unhinged from the sixth, lead us not into temptation. We forget how it is that the Lord actually delivers us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. He does it through holy baptism, through the forgiveness of sins, through the holy sacrament. And finally, when our last hour comes, by taking us from this veil of tears to Himself. We don't pray because there is power in prayer to wag the dog with God. We pray because there is power in the gospel. Power in Jesus' name. The power of God, as Paul writes, unto salvation, which is ours in Jesus' name. The Lord invites us to pray not because we have nothing, but because we have Him. Because we already have everything that truly matters. We pray so that our joy may be full in receiving instead of full of ourselves or fixed in all of the stuff that we might pray for. Harvest, comfort, entertainment, even health and happiness. All things that cannot bring true joy. Whatever finally is not in Jesus' name remains only in our name. But true prayer has its origin not in our amen, but in Christ's. Amen, amen, I say to you. Ask that your joy may be full. And from there, our asking proceeds confidently in His name. Because all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. When prayer isn't such an exercise of faith, then it's doomed from the start. By doomed, I certainly don't mean that it won't yield the outcome that we want when we want it. But it is doomed in the same way that the disciples boasting to Jesus were doomed. Oh, Jesus, now we know. You know all things and you don't need anyone to question you. Ah, but it's quite the opposite. Question. It is because Jesus knows all things that faith asks. That faith asks the Father for everything in His name. We believe that Jesus is the Christ who has come from God, who has redeemed us, and is now ascended where He ever stands for us as our own high priest. Making sure that our prayers in His name are covered by His blood and therefore heard by His Father, whom He has now made our Father also. Prayer must never be unhooked from this faith, dear saints. Prayer is the posture of faith. Jesus says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. The time will come when faith will give way to sight as all is revealed at the last day. But here, we live life only and always by faith. In that day, we will ask for nothing. Now, we ask for everything. We live on the receiving end of God's donating mercy. Just as last week's epistle said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And this is why Jesus gives us this promise, to encourage us. Ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. So, maybe some of those rogation day practices ought to be brought back. All go out to Stan's Fields or Derek's or the Pouches, get some mud on the vestments and receive from the Lord's hand with thanksgiving every good thing. We must know that those fields are holy and blessed because everything created by God is good and is sanctified, is made holy for our use by the word of God and prayer. That is what Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4. Perhaps we should bring back the blessing of mothers as they return to the church after birth. Not with holy water and any kind of papistic superstition, but with the word of God and prayer, as the scriptures teach. That these mothers may hear that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Jesus' name. that they may receive every good thing from God and know that the Father will give them joy because He Himself loves them. Maybe we should gather regularly and bless houses as our Lutheran agenda permits, so that marriage would again be a holy matrimony, going forward in this confidence of God's word and prayer. Or something much simpler. The head of the household take the word of God and read it to his family. That each home learn, confess, and pray the catechism together so that it shapes them as Christians living by faith in each of their vocations. That's what that little congregation at prayer sheet that's tucked into the bulletin is for. It isn't an ancient or arcane ceremonious practice like all of that rogation stuff. And there's no superstition about it. But you may use it to sanctify your home. To sanctify and make holy by God's word and prayer your family, your work, whatever it may be, and your life. It's just God's word and prayer. That is the source and the exercise of faith. God's promise bestows everything to faith. His gospel is given that in Him we may have peace. In this world we will have tribulation, constant temptation that pulls us from faithfulness into faithlessness. But take heart. Christ has overcome the world. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In Jesus' name. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Yes.